Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Rajana Page 43. How many types of sattvika vikara, ecstatic transformations, are there? Goswami. There are 8 sattvika vikara. Stamba, paralysis. Sveda, perspiration. Romancha, horripilation. Swara beda, faltering of the voice. Vepatu, or kampa, shivering. Vaivarnya, pallor. Ashru, tears. And pralaya, devastation, or unconsciousness. Prana moves inside the body in a balanced manner upon the vayu, life air, which is a part of the gross elements. However, under certain circumstances, the prana predominates, and besides associating with the life air, sometimes mixes with one of the other remaining 4 mahabhuta, gross elements, of the external body, which are earth, water, fire, and ether. Thus, this conjunction causes different transformations in the body, in accordance with the particular mahabhuta which prana is mixing. When predominating prana mixes with bhumi, then stamba, paralysis, is manifest. When mixing with apa, then ashru, tears, are manifest. When mixing with teja, then vaivarnya, pallor, and sveta, perspiration, are manifest. When mixing with akash, the body is overcome by pralaya, swoon, and unconsciousness. When predominating prana is situated within its own element, air, there are 3 varying intensities of mixture, each with its own particular effect. When the intensity is manda, weak, the manifestation is kampa, shivering. When the intensity is madhya, medium, the manifestation is swara beda, aphasya, for example, faulting of the voice. And when the intensity is tivra, strong, the manifestation is romancha, horripilation. These 8 sattvika vikaras act both internally and externally, and in all cases they may be laced with extreme perturbations. By some people, such vikaras are called variously bhava, principal emotion, and anubhava, subordinate emotion. However, one should note that anubhava acts externally, hence it cannot be designated as sattvika bhava. It's probably supposed to be internally. The activities of anubhava, manifesting symptoms, for example, of nritya, dancing, are generated by the intervention and action of the intelligence. Thus, sattvika bhava is not directly involved. Sattvika bhava, however, acts directly without any interference of the intellect in such manifestations as stamba, being stunned. Therefore, anubhava and sattvika bhava are separate individual bhavas. Right, so you have also here is that the anubhava, though it manifests physically, it's based on an emotion, right? A specific emotion, so that gives that specific symptom of it. But these sattvika bhavas, that means the prana itself. It's not the mind that's therefore causing these things. It's the prana itself. So mixing with the different in itself or within the other 4 elements, then it creates the sattvika bhava. So it's not based on intelligence, right? That there's an emotion there. Why I'm saying intelligence is that the mood is there, the intelligence controls the senses, right? The mind directs it, but the intelligence is directly dealing with them. Does that make sense? that the senses, they perceive things. Right? So that means there must be intelligence there to deal with that. Right? Then the mind decides, you know, what's the value of that. Right? But here, it's the life heirs are just working on their own. It has nothing to do with the mind and intelligence. So it's not an activity of that. It's just the life heirs become prominent. And then whether it's life heirs on its own or life heirs mixed with one of the other elements. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So this is beyond control of a person.
This is beyond control. The other one, there's the element of it can be controlled because it mentions that it's either wet because it's just manifest direct, or it'll be moist because you see that there's other elements that it shouldn't be manifest. Right? And so therefore, you can choose to also hide it to some degree or completely. Right? Well, then the lightest form of that, then that ruksha, then that's a matter of, that's a manifestation, but from a lower level of realization. So therefore, there's symptoms, but it's dry. It doesn't have the prema that the other one does. Right? Yeah, so that's good. But sattvika, it's not something that one can control. I mean, at least it's happening. Afterwards, one can make that effort. Like we see is that raktaka, he's fanning, and then tears come, so then he can't see, so therefore he makes that effort, you know? Does that make sense? So it's they're different, because their cause is different. One's caused from the mind, one's caused from the life heirs.
So then, which element moves the prana?
Means the mind will be moving, but it's that ecstasy that's there, that's doing it, but it's just it's the general ecstasy that's there. But it doesn't manifest as a specific that has it's connected to a specific emotion. Right? Well, the Anubhava, there's a specific emotion being manifest, so there's a specific physical form that you can see. Does that make sense? Like now you're thinking, right? But you're going like this. Right? So that's the symptom of your thinking. You understand? So there's a direct connection. The sattvika bhava means that it's not having that direct connection. There's the ecstasy, but then the prana itself becomes overly prominent. So then that mixing with these airs then causes this. Does that make sense? These are only giving the mechanics so you can see is how it functions, but the mechanics of it aren't the actual important point. The important point is these are the elements of bhava, right? Of this manifestation of love of God. That's what's important. Does that make sense? Right? It means its mechanics are important as secondary, as supportive, because then from that you can tell what's happening. Right? How does Ayurveda work? Right? Right, the three doshas. So mucus, the bile, and air. Something becomes out of balance. Okay? So now when these physical symptoms manifest, depending on what is there, as sattvika bhava, if they're very intense, then there's in the spiritual world there's medicine for it. Right? So therefore you're bringing the life airs into balance, but you have to know if it's life airs with air, or life airs with earth, or life airs with fire, or life airs with ether. Does that make sense? Then you know what medicine to give. Right? Because what disease is there? There's no disease there. But that concept of disease is there in the way of the ecstasies that are there. Someone swoons, okay, then you know it's air and ether. So then there's a certain medicine. There's a certain treatment. Does that make sense? So you'll see that in the pastimes. Yes.
All right, so then we discussed yesterday about Anubhava, and then you mentioned Mahaprabhu, his limbs, and, you know, that was Anubhava. And then on other occasion, he went, like, unconscious. And then devotees tried to bring him back to consciousness. This would be this case.
Yeah, this would be the sattvika.
Okay.
like that. That's why it's that you know exactly what's there. That's why the science is defined like that, so you know exactly what's happening, so you can understand what kind of to do. Because if it's the sattvika bhavas, it's not so much of an emotion or anything that's going to. It's not an element of emotion to deal with. It's a matter of appreciation of the amount of their ecstasy, or the devotee of the ecstasy is so great of appreciating that element, the vibhava, you know, that's connected to the Lord, right? But in anubhava, then that becoming a secondary symptoms, you know, it's a definite, own, clear aspect of bhava, that then is something that creates a furtherance of nourishing the rasa, right? Means from interaction. This other one, sattvika, is not so much you can just appreciate it or deal with it itself. Does that make sense? So that's why each one of them has something unique that it adds or does. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Okay. Vrajanath, revered Goswamiji, kindly explain the cause of symptoms like stumba, etc. Okay, what is that? Stumba, paralysis. Okay. Stumba occurs when the devotee is speechless, feeling vacant and acute inertia because of one or all of the following emotions: harsha, delight; bhaya, fear; ascharya, astonishment; vishada, extreme depression; or amarsha, rage; sveda, perspiration accompanied by salivation and melting of the heart, is caused by delight, fear, or rage; romancha, horripilation, happens because of astonishment, delight, enthusiasm, or fear; swara veda, aphasia, leading to faltering of voice, is prompted by lassitude, amazement, wrath, pleasure, or fear. Kampa, uncontrolled shivering, is a result of lalya, spiritual greed, brought about by fear, anger, or delight. Vaivarnya, pallor, is caused by a combination of lassitude, rage, and fear. Ashru, involuntary tears, pour out caused by feelings of delight, anger, or lassitude. Tears of delight are shitala, cold, and tears of anger are ushna, hot. So, like you see something, when the devotees are happy, then it'll be cool tears, but if they're upset, then it'll be hot. Pralaya, unconscious, caused by overpowering spiritual joy or sorrow that erases consciousness and the ability to act, thus causing swoon and falling to the ground. Right?
Yes. Whereas what's pallor or lassitude?
Pallor means you go white. You lose all your color. Okay. Lassitude means you just don't feel like you can do anything. The body doesn't have the... It means, in other words, stumbas, you can't move. But lassitude is just... means you can't move because it's fixed. Lassitude is you can't move because there's no... you can't connect the movement process and the muscles and all that. You know? Like sometimes you see is that... someone becomes shocked or something, and then they just kind of, they don't faint, but they don't, they just kind of like fall to the ground. They're fully conscious, but they just fall to the ground because they can't, that's lassitude. Okay. So here we see is that the emotions are so strong that it brings on the sattvika bhava. But it's so there are symptoms of it, but it's not like these are symptoms of the mood. These are symptoms of ecstasy caused by the mood. Does this make some sense here?
We just need a moment to process this.
We just need a few years to process. Can you get back to us next year?
So, my
Yes.
It means that these things are moved on the platform of the soul, right?
We're talking about bhava and prema here. So there's no conditioning. Means the mechanics of it works in the material world, but it's working through, you know, your various hormones and other things like that. But we're talking this is here, what he's defining here is how it's applied in the spiritual world.
So it means the soul works like that.
The soul and the body that the soul's in. Because these manifestations are in the spiritual body. But if someone's in a material body, they'll also make the same symptoms. That makes sense? Yeah. You had something?
So is ecstasy the name for the end result of all of these moves?
It's all part of ecstasy, yeah, but these are all the elements and ingredients of rasa, because we're discussing rasa.
But it's like you can have ecstasy from fear, like the mood of fear.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it means, in other words, rasa means the exchange between one person and another. So out of fear, then these may come up. Right? You know, just like Krishna is caught in the coils of Kali, a serpent. So when Mother Jashoda sees that, she just faints. So that's a sattvika bhava. Right there. You understand? Sattvika bhava has four levels depending on the intensity of the pure emotion. Damayita, smoking. Jvalita, smoldering. Udipta, a light. And sudipta, intensely flaming. So therefore in the Western, when they say something's smoking, it's not actually happening that much. It's happening, but for them, when it's just got to the smoky, now this is happening, but on the spiritual platform, that's the lowest level. Yeah. I'm not sure if he'd pull that one off. Ooh, intensely flavored. But, you know, it may not work as well, but whatever. And sudipta, intensely flaming. Ruksha sattvika bhava, dry emotion, is mostly domayita, smoking. Snigdha sattvika bhava, wet emotion generally reaches the higher intensity levels. Rati is the cause of the most wonderful and inexplicable bliss. But because Ruksha Bhava lacks Rati, it is flaccid and thus without splendor. Right? Because the smoking is there, but there's no brilliance. Right? You see, because then with the next smoldering, there's some element you can see the brightness. Right? And then Udipta, a light. You can see the flame. And then intense flaming, big. Does this make sense? So that's what you see at other times. You'll probably see later, they'll be using the term ujvala, which means intensely flaming. So when they say the ujvala rasa, because it's so intense, it's so bright. Does that make sense? The manifestation is very, very bright. So that terminology will be used.
It's like Lord Chaitanya's face in the...
Yeah, it just means that it's very bright, you know, just like if there's anything. So it's very, you know, so much emotion that there's more brightness. So we can take this within this plane, you'll see all four. But when you convert that to the spiritual plane, on the conditioned state, you'll only see, because of the dry element, there's no rati, there's no bhava. So therefore, it'll only be smoking. So it'll be symptoms of the ecstasy, but it's only on the smoking platform. Right? Because they lack the rati. But with rati, then we see that more of that comes up. It's much more bright. Vrajanath, Gurudev, I understand that sattvika bhava blossoms in the heart as a result of enormous good fortune. How shall we understand the bhavas expressed in stage performances by artists, by many other persons, in order to achieve their particular worldly objectives? Goswami, sattvika bhava springing from sincere execution of unalloyed and unmotivated devotional service is Vaishnava bhavam, spiritual emotion expressed by pure Vaishnava devotees. All the other inferior bhavas are divided into four categories in a descending scale: ratyabhas, false resemblance of love; sattva-abhas, impure emotion that is a distant and loose resemblance of pure emotion; nisattvaka, postured emotion for a material purpose; and pratipa, emotion born from a hostile attitude. The emotional attachment expressed for the Supreme Lord by the aspirants for salvation. Right? Because, in other words, we see is that all these different things can manifest, like it has fear. But then, on the spiritual platform, it'll be fear for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But on the material platform, it'll be fear of Krishna. Right? So that will manifest as this pratipa. Right? Emotion born from a hostile attitude. Pratipa. Because that was the father of... Oh man, I can't even remember the names. He married the girl with the smell. The fish smell, and then it turned out... Satyavati, but then her husband was
Shantanu.
Shantanu's father was Pratipa. I was wondering what Pratipa meant. So it meant emotion born from a hostile attitude. In other words, don't mess with this guy. Because Kshatriya names are supposed to reflect power and stuff like that. So. Okay. The emotional attachment expressed for the Supreme Lord by the aspirants for salvation. Such as the monistic Mayavadi sannyasis of the Shankara school, upon hearing topics about Krishna, is called ratyabhas, false semblance of love. When narrations about Krishna activity are heard by the dull and materially conditioned, they may feel joy, astonishment, and material sentimental emotion known as sattva-abhas, which superficially appears like the ecstatic, transcendental, pure emotion of sattvika-bhava. Soft-hearted women, empiricists, and mimamsaka philosophers may experience this emotion.
Okay. It's an interesting combination.
Soft-hearted women, empiricists, and mimamsaka.
Is it empiricists? Is that the Sankhya?
Empiricists, because empirical means what is brought in from the senses. Like, why do you think it's such a strange combination? Women, mimamsakas, those who work for fruitive gain, and empiricists, those who function by what they can see in front of them. So it's just a matter of the extremity of it. Because the etymes, in other words, the empiricists only have the one, the mimamsakas only have the one, but the women have all of them, so they're in a superior position. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's sattvika abhas. The postured sentiments often expressed through crying and horripilation, displayed by persons with duplicitous hearts, by stage actors, and by those using such display to achieve their mundane goals, are known as nisattva. Generally, such hypocritical persons are hard-hearted materialists, but by constantly exercising their tear glands, they produce artificial tears, and soon such false crying becomes second nature. Vrajanath, what is pratipa? Right. So this is what you see is what we'll probably be talking about the sahajas. They just practice these things and they can just cry on demand. What is pratipa? Goswami, one performs activities that go against Krishna and his edicts. Fear and anger arise. These emotions are known as pratipa bhava abhasa. Kamsa's fearful demur is a fine example of pratipa. A fine example. Right. Rajanath, kindly explain the remaining Samagri Bhava, which is known as Vyavachari Bhava, aggressive ecstasy. Right. So in other words, it's saying that these physical symptoms, the choking in the voice, standing the hairs on the end, all these can also be experienced on the material platform. Right. So it's mentioned that one, or I was mentioning those, the one is the Mayavadi sannyasis. You know, or in other words, the those on the platform, the Brahmavadis, that there's nothing material blocking it so much. So it may have some very strong emotions. because of that, because there's very little in the way of attachments and other things, right? Then on the next level, it will be by those who are very much connected to the senses, very much connected to the sense of duty. Mamamsaka says, I have to do this, this is my duty, right? So there's much a higher sense of emotion, right? Because then you bring out the aspect of swargiya rasa, right? It means the parti, it means the Vaikuntha rasa, that's the actual pure form. But then when you drop down into that, then you get into the swargiya rasa. Or swargiya means heavenly rasa, as opposed to spiritual. So it's a finer nature, like that. So either a little higher is in the ones who are detached from material involvement, or those who are attached but on a finer level. Sense of duty, the sense of emotion, just so absorbed in the senses that it gives them that. Like, does that make sense? I remember one person telling me about, they were into, you know, sound, so they were like sound technicians. And they had worked out this thing as they took, because speakers, they vibrate, so some of their sound gets lost and some of the fineness. So they took them and screwed them into something, you know, very heavy. And they didn't move after that. And then they, you know, because, you know, I already have a dead room in the way of, you know, how you say it? Acoustically dead, yeah. Not that it was, you know, actually had died or it was something goth, you know. It was just acoustically dead. And so he put on the sound and it was so perfect, the sound. You know, because then you have your spot where it all just, and, you know, tears were coming to his eyes. So that's because he's just so tuned into that fear, and fear is this element of just the sound that, you know, these are meant. So the fineness of that, you know, because it's sound, not I'm enjoying the sound. Like, oh, I enjoy this. This is my jam, right? That kind of thing. No, it was like, this is just sound. You understand? And women, it's just emotion, right? Does that make sense? Like that? And the imamsakas, this is the duty, this is the, you know, this is the varnasha thing, so it brings them to that little bit higher platform. Then when you get down to partiva rasa, then you have those that are doing it for their own purpose, but it appears to be kind of favorable, and those who are for their own purpose, but it's completely negative. Does that make sense? So you're dealing with rasa on these three levels. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the mechanics are the same on all three. But the difference is whether it's directed at Krishna, whether it's directed at something finer material, or whether it's directed at something grosser material. Does that make sense? Grosser meaning the aspect of whether there's a subtler element to it. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So then, even when we practice devotional service, sometimes we experience some kind of ecstasy. It doesn't mean this is a spiritual emotion.
No, but it mentioned before, on the spiritual platform, that it's dry emotion. Like that. If it's coming from the performance of devotional service, then it's, but you're not on the platform of bhava. It doesn't have that affection. That attraction. So therefore, it's there. So the sattvika bhava is maybe there, but it's considered dry. So if you're, in other words, the point is that it's so great compared to anything else one's experienced in the world. But that's just the dry one. So imagine what the moist one or the wet one's like. Does that make sense? It's just so much greater. Like that. But it's saying on the material platform, just straight materialists, they can experience these same, you know, sattvika bhavas, you know, coming from those same emotions that it mentions before. But it will have those level. One who is more spiritually situated, but not devotional, then that will be the highest level of that. Right, that ratyavas. Then when it's just on the emotional platform, or that the subtler aspects of sound or of duty, then it will manifest the next platform. Right, when it's just being done for your own purpose. Right, but seemingly positive to the other person, then it's the, you know, the third level down. Right, and then when it's being done, means out of fear or anger towards the Lord, then that's the fourth. That's the lowest. But the mechanics are the same. Does that make sense? You know, Kamsa is feeling fear, right? The the actor is feeling fear, right? The mother is feeling fear, right? Or then the somehow or another the Mayavadi is appreciating the fear that's going on in the pastime. So each one is the same thing, but it's manifest from a higher or lower level. Is that
something? So you're describing this chronological sequence. I was also referring to Samatha, when you see the different levels of conscious, selfish materialist and selfish materialistic, and then
yes, true. Means in the other words, that demons are on the lowest. But the difficult, why I didn't explain it that way, is because those who are functioning just by information of the senses, that's anamoy. So I didn't want to get that mixed with, because I gave the example of someone who's so absorbed in sound, the inferiorist. But the difference here is the element of the absorption in the principle of sound. So there's a subtler element, because that's what it is. It's not just, it's a good sound, you know? Because the other one, then, you know, they go, wow, yeah, this is good. But this one, it's just, they just break into tears, because it's just, the quality of it is so good. You understand? So it's a different element. You know, in other words, perfection of sound, rather than the particular combination of sound. Right? Does that make sense? So the quality of sound rather than what the sound is doing. Does that make sense? So that's why we're saying it has that subtler level, because then you're dealing with the nature of sound. Right? The dharma of sound. While the Karmakandya is then, he is dealing with the nature of my duty as a fruitive worker. You know, what do I have to do? Like that. And women, then the emotional platform, that is the platform they function from. So that's where it's manifest, is through the Dharma. Does that make sense? So that's why those three are at that level. You know, and then when he says, when you're doing it for your own purpose, then like you're saying there, then that's pranamoy. It's artha. You're trying to get your own gain. But you use ethics, justice, all these different things to show it. But it's for your own gains. And then when you drop down to that, it's only about yourself, you know, and it's directed against God and like that. Then it takes the lowest level. Well, then the Mayavadis are in that fourth level, Vijnanamaya. Does that make sense? So it's only because they're on that platform, then they're appreciating that aspect of Brahman. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's, yes. So in other words, when it's mixed with dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, it gives these four kinds of experience. Does that make sense? Yeah. But within the spiritual, then it has its own. It doesn't go by these four. It goes by whether the four also, whether it's smoldering, whether it's you know, I mean, excuse me, smoking, smoldering, a light or bright, you know. Does that make sense? So it still has the same four, but that's just by one. The lowest smoldering is simply because you're a devotee, but not on the platform of bhava. And then, so within bhava, then it will be there. So depending upon the situation, what was the greatness of the vibhava? You know, what was the udipan? What was the alambana? What was the situation that's all in? Then it will manifest it more of those. Because we don't hear of Ujjvala Rasa when the gopis are with Krishna and everybody else. It's when they're just with Krishna alone. You know, it means just the gopis. It doesn't mean just one gopi. But it means when it's just the gopis. There's no cowherd boys. There's no parents. Right? You know, so that, therefore, it's the brightest then. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, so now the Vyavachari Bhavas, aggressive ecstasy. Goswami, all in all, there are 33 Vyavachari Bhavas.
33, okay.
V means specifically. Abhi means towards, and Chari means moving. So, Vyavachari, okay. So, specifically moving towards. They are called Vyavachari Bhavas because they specifically move towards and nourish Stai Bhava. Okay, because Stai Bhava is the fixed Bhava. Right? So the other is when the V-Bhava mixes with the Stai Bhava, then you get Anubhava. Right? But this specifically then nourishes the Stai Bhava. Right? As they sancharita travel through, that's the way they're sold on, the body, mind, and words, they are also referred to as sanchari bhavas. Right? Does that make sense? So they are moving towards the stai bhava, so they're called vyavachari, but because they move through the body, mind, and words, they're also known as sanchari. Right? So the main point is that they're moving. They are waves that arise from the nectarian ocean of Stai Bhava, causing it to swell before they return to their source. The 32 Vyavichari Bhavas, bodily symptoms, which manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows. Nirveda, indifference. Vishada, moroseness. 3, Dainya, meekness. Glani, a feeling that one is in a faulty position. Shrama, fatigue. Mada, madness. Garva, pride. Shanka, doubt. Trasha, shock. Avega, intense emotion. Unmada, craziness. Apasmada, forgetfulness. Just thinking, the kids have a lot of these, right? They're basically always crazy and they forget everything.
They're also tired.
Yeah, and they're always tired. I mean, when there's work to do, when there's play, somehow or another, you know, like that. Vyadi, disease. Moha, bewilderment. Mriti, death. Alasya, laziness. Jariya, invalidity. Mrida, shame. Avatita, concealment. Smrita, remembrance. Vitarka, argument. Chinta, contemplation. Mati, attention. Driti, forbearance. Harsha, jubilation. Sukya, eagerness. Augriya, violence. Amarsha, anger. Asuya, jealousy. Chapalya, impudence. Nidra, sleep. Supti, deep sleep. And Prabodha, awakening. There are two groups of sanchari bhava: Svatantra, independent, and Paratantra, dependent. Dependent sanchari bhavas divided into vara, favorable, and avara, unfavorable. Vara is also divided into two, sakshat, direct, and vyavahita, indirect. Right? So it means you have a bhava that is dependent, means it's connected to something else, and it's favorable, but it's indirectly manifested. Right? In other words, this group gets very, very subtle. Right? The other one's a little bit more direct, though it has its subtleties, as we saw. Now he's just explaining it. Now I'm sure you will ask to know about it. Okay. Svatantra sanchari bhava is divided into three. In other words, independent. Rati shunya, without rati, love. Rati anusparsha, touching rati. And rati gandha, flavored with rati. When these bhavas appear in persons who are adverse to Krishna or are directed towards vipaksha, an inappropriate person or object, they are of two types, pratikulya, contrary, and anauchitya, unfit. Right? So it means if it's adverse, it's pratikulya, contrary. If it's directed at the wrong person, then it's unfit. Anauchitya. All the bhavas have four different dasas, or dashas, right? Phases, right? So that's what it's meaning in bhava. It says the smaran dasha means it's the phase. So it's a phase that one goes through. Right? Okay. Utpati, birth and growth of ecstatic emotion. Sandhi, union of two emotions. Shabalya, friction upon fusion of various emotions. And Shanti, pacification of emotion. Vrajanath, we would like to know about these four phases of bhava in more detail. Bhava utpatti, creation of a static emotion, is easy to understand, but not the others. Goswami, the confluence of two similar or dissimilar bhavas is called sandhi, union. For example, shrama, fatigue, and alashya, laziness, may arise simultaneously. That is a sandhi of two similar emotions. Harsha, pleasure, and shankha, anxiety, may appear simultaneously. That is a sandhi of two dissimilar emotions, right? Because emotions all appear at once, right? So if it's one, it's very clear, it's very easy. But when you have many at once, then it's more of a problem, right? Does that make sense?
It's like there's a call for prasadam, and then there's some pleasure, but then there's anxiety. Is there enough?
If there's enough, or whether you can get there on time, or yeah. that prasad's that way, but your bucket's that way, you know, and the other guy, the other, like, you know, Maharati's already walking that way with his bucket, you know, so that anxiety arises, you know.
He's already there.
Yeah, anxiety, also impatience, you know, all these different things. Yeah, like
but not,
that.
But not laziness or fatigue.
No, no, no. But then when you get there and see all the halavas in his bucket, then there might be, you know, alasya, you know, like falling on the ground. Swooning, yeah. Rajanath, what is bhava sabalya? Bhava sabalya is a condition where many different bhavas assert themselves simultaneously, okay? Utpatti, growth. Sandhi, sabalya, friction, okay. Where many different bhavas assert themselves simultaneously, causing friction and jostling amongst themselves, and where one bhava even tries to overpower the other. When Kamsa heard of Krishna's pastimes, he experienced a competition between krodha, anger, and trasha, fear, in his consciousness. This is bhava Shabalya, right? So anger, he'll want to do something, but then he's fearful of that, and Krishna's going to kill him, but then, so therefore I should kill him first. But then, you know, it's been predicted that I'll be killed, like that. Does that make sense? That kind of a...
All right, does that happen with Jyotila and Shrimati?
Does that happen with?
Jyotila. And Shrimati, she's always trying to push her to some of the conflict with...
I mean, that's there. I mean, it's just there and common. You don't have to have... He's giving this example because it's something very much we can understand. Because if we give examples at this point directly in the feminine nature, that's the whole problem. The men don't catch that. You know, why are you being so trippy? All it means is that there's two conflicting emotions at once. So it's just part of the Sanchari Bhava. But it's based on the sthayi bhava, so the man will take it because these emotions are there, the affection's not there. But actually, they're coming from that ocean of affection. You understand? So because of the inherent element of the material world being in ignorance, and the masculine principle being the representing that aspect, right? And so, therefore, the man is generally unable to appreciate these fine elements of emotion. He's, here we're sitting here and dealing with it. It works quite, you know, fairly okay, you know, because nothing's moving too fast. And it's not a matter if you don't catch it this second, no one talks to you for the next 3 days, right? You know, so the pressure's not on. The mind's peace. Okay, yeah, okay, what about this and that and, you know, like that. But when it's actually in the moment, you know, it's that, you know, your response in that next nanosecond, you know, decides so many things, you know. So then it becomes more of a problem. Does that make sense? Because Krishna may have these, but generally when you see it manifesting, it's not as often. Because the fun is that him interacting with these that the devotees are manifesting. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it means it's there always because he's mentioning Kamsa. So you do have it there mentioned. But here he's just showing two. But, you know, if you're only having two conflicting emotions in the woman's mind, you're doing good. You know, it's still kind of identifiable. But when you start having four or five, Do you know? Does that make sense? You know, she's just walking along, and there she sees that someone she hasn't seen from high school, right? Okay? Now, the problem is then there's all these emotions come up. So she doesn't know how to talk to him, because that would be the civil thing to do, because now they're adults, they're not kids anymore. But at the same time, she is the one that stole her boyfriend and went to the prom with him. You know, so, you know, there's that disappointment and devastation and that, you know, insecurity, at the same time that anger, at the same time trying to be civil about it, you know what I'm saying? At the same time being fearful how she'll respond. She is the unknown about how the other one will respond, right? And we're talking about the first nanosecond here. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's when the Santri Bhavas assert themselves, when there's friction. Right? Because when there's not friction, means yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then in residence of Vrindavan, all those bhavas, they manifest constantly.
Yeah, yeah. No, so it's always going on.
To other people, it appears that if they are mad, you know, like in total madness. It's inconceivable, actually, what's going on in the behavior.
Yeah, have you ever been in the next room and they can't see you, but you can hear them talking? Yeah. And you think they're crazy? Yeah. Because the emotions change every moment. Yeah, we'll go, oh, yeah. Oh, like that. You know, I mean, you have to put in the words. I can't, you know, I'm not that good. But, yeah? So that's, yeah, you could say that. But at the same time, it's the most normal and natural. Because there's no mode of ignorance. Here, then you have all that mode of ignorance. Right, so it's like everything's moving through. That's why these lower level manifestations of these emotions are. It means the mechanics are the same, but the intensity is very, very less. You know, or it's intense, but the quality of it is extremely less. Does that make sense? Okay. Vrajanath, what is Bhava Shanti? Okay, so that means that when it becomes what do you call it? Peaceful again. Pacification. Goswami, when bhavas which have reached great intensity are pacified and fade away, we speak of Bhava Shanti, pacification of emotion. Krishna's young cowherd boyfriends, but also the point is whether you see them manifest or not. That's also depending on the situation, these things may come up or not. So they can function as very normal.
But still, inside themselves, they have all those emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, but it's just a matter of anybody sees someone else. Let's say, okay, I gave the one example. Let's take the other example. You know, four really good close friends, you know, in a car with the top down, driving down the road alone. Now, that conversation is also really stupid, right? They take one thing, and then after that, you go on, hey, we could, you know, that would be this, yeah, that would be that. And they just keep on going and coming more and more insane things, drinking and spilling things all over, and, you know, like that. We won't get into the other aspects. And, yeah, you know, does that make sense? And so the women think, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But when you put it together, then it's a matter of, then you control it. You deal in the social structure. But it's not that those feelings aren't there. Those things aren't going through the mind. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the problem. It's when those things go through the mind, but you don't apply it to the situation. So one of them comes out. Right? And then another party gets upset. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. Krishna's young cowherd boyfriends were extremely anxious and grief-stricken when they could not see Krishna. But when they heard his flute, even from a distance, their vishada, trepidation, was instantly calmed down. Vrajanath, Gurudev, is there more to be said on this topic? Goswami, 33 Vyavichari Bhavas, as well as the one Mukya Stai Bhava, and the 7 Gauna Stai Bhavas, which will be dealt with later, together total 41 Bhavas. All of them produce Vikaras in the bodily system, and are Chitta Vritti, tendencies of the heart that produce Bhava. Right, so you're taking the 33 plus the one Mukya, right? Whichever is the one that you're in, right? Because there's 5 rasas, so you're in one of those 5. Now there's 7 secondary rasas, so anyone in any of those 5 could experience those 7. So those 7, that one and 33, then what do you say? 41. So that's what's going on at all times. Now, which one is manifest at what time? Which one with which one? Then what its effect is? Though the effect is the particular sattvika bhava or the particular anubhava. Now, what has caused those to come up? That will be the vibhava, right? The vibhava will start these 41 bhavas moving, right? And then there'll be bodily symptoms of the anubhava disturbing systems, symptoms of the sattvika bhava. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. The term mukya and gona.
Mukya means primary. Okay. Right? So in the 5 rasas, you only have mukya, which is primary. There's no secondary rasa in there. It means the secondary will be what's contained within the rasa. Like friendship contains servitorship and appreciation. Parental includes friendship, servitorship, and like this. You could say there, but they're not counting it like that. They're talking about primary rasa and secondary. So you have one primary rasa, and then the secondary rasas means the other 7. That way there's 12. Right? But in the 5, you only are in 1. Right? It means with Krishna. Yeah. Yes? Gas leaders is in secondary, it's not a primary rasa.
Yeah, but so it's not, the secondary rasas aren't a combination with the
primary. It can be experienced by anyone.
Oh,
okay. Okay, means you have the, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? So you were the one, you know, you were in the group there, then that's going to have that element.
Like friendship?
Means if you're part of that, like that, or if you're the one that comes after and sees the scene, or you, one of those persons there was a relative. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Means it's there. Means it's just covering all bases. When we say rasa, we mean everything. When they're talking about this, there isn't something beyond this. This isn't, well, just, you know, talking about it. This is it. That's the difference between the Vedic science and anything else, because anything else, how would they come up with this? These little subtleties, right? Now, if you're going by your normal scientist, most of these they would put together. Right? And then areas that are of interest to them, they would make those separate. Right? But that's the point of Shabda, is that you have to bring your thinking in line with what the authority is saying. So that means it doesn't matter how good of a psychologist, a sociologist, they'll never come up with this. Like, they'll never understand this. Right? Even it is, they don't talk about the 5 rasas, they don't talk about the secondary rasas, they don't talk about all these different things. They don't know. They wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Right? So that's it. So they can't tell the subtleties. So this is the science. Yes?
Sai Bhava is where one is in. So, isn't it that Mukya Sai Bhava and Sai Bhava are the same?
Yeah, because what he's saying, Mukya Sai Bhava means, because he's talking about, he's now in this reference talking about the 12 rasas, right? 5 primary, 7 secondary. So when he says, in this case, he says Mukya, you know, Stai Bhava, that means which of the 5 main is your rasa. Because the other 7, they're not your rasa. They come and go. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes you're laughing about it, sometimes you fear, sometimes, you know, like these, those things, they come up, they come and go. Right? That's the exchange. Right? In other words, your exchange is based on that. And does that make sense? Yeah. Gona means secondary. Yeah, mukhya means primary, gona means secondary.
Okay.
Sometimes we may not consider a very emotional or ladylike. So
well, it just means there's more of this you can see. That's all. You know, they're just more aware of it. That's all. Does that make sense?
So they are showing their emotions more than other men, but they are not like it.
Yeah, it means other emotions, men may have emotions, but they're not necessarily showing them. You know, because man, something upsets him, he just goes, sits down somewhere and he's quiet. You know, he doesn't want to talk about it, he just wants to think about it. You know what I'm saying? Well, women, they like to talk about it. Not necessarily the person that upset them, but... You know. Does that make sense?
Was the material emotion as a reflection of this
person? Yes, it's all that means. This is rasa. This is how it works. This is the mechanics of it. Now it works in its natural state on the platform of prema, and then its manifestation is very great. Well, if it's not, it's on the material platform, then its manifestation is much less. Right? You know, so we'll think it's very great for here. Or very less for here, but it's not necessarily there. Yes.
Is that the difference when you made fear of Krishna and for Krishna?
Yeah, fear of Krishna, fear for Krishna. Yeah, because they're both directed at Krishna. You know, so there may be a great intensity, but the one gives spiritual ecstasy, the other one is just mundane feeling. Yes.
What's the benefit for us to hear all that technical knowledge, except for Shabda?
Basically, that you know that this is what's there.
Very confusing.
Very confusing.
So many details. It's hard to remember.
Well, did you notice he didn't give any detail in the Vyavachari Bhavas?
Was it not?
Like that. In the Sattvika, which is something more easily understandable and connected with the elements, then he gave that, so then that worked. Right? So it was... Right, you think we shouldn't study this? Or,
huh? No, I'm just curious. You know, some things you can relate to, some things are more...
Well, these are just things that nobody talks about or thinks about, because rasa is not a popular part of modern culture. You know? It means having things that you're supposed to use with other people for rasa, but you don't, that's the modern culture. You know, in other words, the rasa is based on talking about the facility you have for rasa, but you never actually, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's like that. Sad, but true. Yeah.
Or is it a lack of understanding the science why Facebook and movies are so popular with devotees?
Facebook and movies. I would say more Facebook. Movies is just, you know, that is interacting in some way, you know, but Facebook is somehow another, you know, wow, I have so many friends. I'm sure if they walked in the room, you might not be necessarily so inspired.
There's one girl and all her friends on Facebook, they decided to like show up on her birthday outside her house, and she like opened the curtains, there was all these people out there, and she was like, she freaked out from the police, you know.
Did they work it out eventually?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yes.
The Eastern culture seems to be more aware of us.
Yeah, no, Eastern is. Basically, Eastern, Southern, you know, anything is, you know, just some, you have a kind of like a path, kind of like it starts west of the east block and kind of goes west from there until it hits the Pacific Ocean. So that's where generally there's less appreciation. Though individual cultures have more in certain areas. But the point is they don't know the science. They're aware of it, but they don't know the science. So because of that, then it gets out of balance. So then it also has its particular unique kind of elements. Krishna's greatness. Right. Yes, no, it just shows how he can deal with all these, because the point is why have a second gopi if she's not different than the one before that? Right? So the point, when you're saying 16,108, then that means each one is uniquely different. So they're all, each one manifesting at any time a different aspect of feminine emotion. So to be able to deal with all that at once, that means he's good. He's good. Right? You know, so that's on the screen. On the material platform, you only hear of Narad Muni when he was that Gandharva. Right? When he became the Gandharva. Then he could deal with 50 girls at once. Like that. But that was that's the maximum you ever hear of. You don't hear of anyone else dealing with that many. Like that. And that was for a short time, because, you know, very short time after that he got cursed. And then so even that means, you know, basically, was it 311 trillion years of strict brahmacharya. You know, got him a short time of being able to deal like that with 50 girls. Yeah. So that's why the Shastras recommend stick to one. Yeah. Yes.
How did Kshatriyas do the rule of wives? They weren't
on that. It means that there's a sign, but how long are they dealing with all the wives? Oh, that's the wrong Shastra. Okay, it's like this. They get up in the morning, they're sleeping in their own apartment, right? So then they get up, dress, do their morning program, go to court, right? After that, then they go to the inner apartments. Does that make sense? You know, and then they go back to the civil work, and then in the evening they come. Right? Now, when you walk into the apartments, I would expect lunch is an arranged thing. So he may have lunch on his own, or it's specifically arranged who he's with. Right? Because the feminine nature becomes more, subtler, attentive after dark. Right? The day, not as much. There you can be more specific. But at night, that's when the emotions and stuff, the senses, all that or more. Yes? So that means then in that evening when he goes into the inner apartments, that's the only time he meets with all the wives privately, together. Okay? Now, he's with all the wives there. Now he has to say something unique about them that's different from the other ones. So that way, the individual queen will be pleased, but at the same time it's different from the others, so the others can't get jealous, right? And you can't use the same ones every time. Right? So that's why it's only recommended for 25 years. Like that, you know, you run out of things to say. Right? So how smart do you have to be? This idea, oh yeah, hey, yeah, two wires, yeah, four wires, that'd be cool. It's like, no, this is what is required. Does that make sense? Then he'll go to his apartment, and then he'll go to whoever it is apartment he's supposed to go to. Either by his choice or by their arrangement, whatever it is. One king, he had the entrances into the apartments, they had their own doors, but he had an entrance to the roof that no one else could see. He had access to the roof, so the roof was his. So you could go from his apartment up to the roof and down into the particular queen's apartment without the other queen's spies being able to tell where he is. So that way they couldn't be jealous. You understand? Or it has to be their arrangement that, you know, it's this or that. But public programs, then there's the main queen, and everybody else is just falls in line with that. So the public, then that works. That's amongst the women to take care of. Right? Because he'll sit there with the main queen and all the other queens around. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then. So it's work. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why in the modern thing, you know, the one night stand is popular. Because the point is you don't need new lines. Because it's a different person. You know, you say, wow, he's so good. No, he's not so good. He's only good for one day. You know, the second day, he doesn't have any lines. Right? He doesn't even many times have lines for the morning. That's why he's gone. Do you understand? So they're not actually very good. Like that. Does that make sense?
So those bhavas are created by Yogamaya, right?
They're created by Yogamaya, and in the material world, they're created by Mahamaya. We're discussing here specifically the spiritual level, so it's Yogamaya, yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Vrajanath, which specific bhavas do they give birth to? Goswami, they create the eight sattvika. They create the eight asta sattvika bhavas and all the anubhavas that follow the central vibhava. Means all these. Means the sthayi bhava, and the seven secondary bhavas, and the 33 vyavachari bhavas. All right? So they give birth to the sattvika bhavas and the anubhavas that are following the main, whatever's the central vibhava, right? Because there's so many aspects of vibhava, but whichever's the central one. Vrajanath, are they all an innate part of the original spiritual nature and personality of the devotee? Goswami, no, some are natural, but others are aganuta, transitory, and adventitious. Is that how you spell that? Yeah, I've heard so many words, you never see the spelling. Adventitious. The sthayi bhava of every individual devotee is his natural bhava. In general, the vyavachari bhavas are transitory. Right? So you're saying, are all these all there at once? No. You know, that was what your point from before. Is no, they're transitory. There's the main fixed bhava. Then all these others are coming and going. Right, so of the 41, one is fixed, 40 are coming and going. Like that. Vrajanath, do all the individual devotees possess the same bhava? Goswami, no. The devotees are naturally individuals, therefore their inclinations are particular and varied. According to the devotee's innate disposition, different bhavas manifest and acquire diversity of character. In addition, the bhavas take on variegated shades depending on the condition of the devotee's chitta, namely, garishta, superior, lagishta, light, and gambhirya, grave. However, amrita, the nectar of devotion, is always fluid by nature and is thus the intrinsic characteristic of the heart of all the devotees. So in other words, tasting that nectar of devotion, that all devotees have, because it's always flowing, it's always moving. Right? So this is more in line with what, bringing out the aspect of what Ramanuja is talking about. That all the devotees, it's the same. They're experience that same, from that same ocean of devotion. Right? But Madhva is bringing out the difference more. That they're different, they're unique, and depending upon their particular position, then they have a particular place in the pastimes. Right? Does that make sense? Both are correct, but the one is very inspiring.
Right. The conflicting emotions. Usually,
conflicting emotions.
They arise when somebody's not in tune with the mood. But not the
Do they arise when someone's not in tune with the mood?
Not the positive conflicting emotions, but like inappropriate.
Well, inappropriate there is meaning that it's applied to the wrong person. Right? You're directing anger at somebody who didn't do anything wrong. Or is that, you know, because it's aimed at the wrong person. Or it's the wrong mood for the person that you're dealing with. You know, like that. You know, it's just you don't have that emotion with that person. Like sometimes something happens and you react in a particular way and say, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Because was inappropriate for dealing with that person. Or maybe it was with that person, but not in that situation. Right? So then it's the wrong emotion for the person, or it's the wrong emotion directed at the particular person, at the right person. Right?
All right. There was a very funny example of that. A teacher of mine, she came home and she saw this person fixing the pipe, and she thought of the husband, she started saying very intimate things. And she looked, it was a plumber. Didn't know what to say. Then she just
the plumber's kind of okay. And then she said the father out to kind of usher him out. Yeah. When everything was finished, then he took him out. Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool.
Or the brahmanas are...
Loudly?
The brahmanas are supposed to serve prasadam because then they can manifest the proper mood.
Yeah, the point is that someone with knowledge, someone who has training does. Mm-hmm. Depends on the situation, what you're doing. If it was amongst Brahmins, then they would be serving, of course. Does that make sense? But it just depends on your group. But the point is those who are trained in serving Prasad, they should serve Prasad. Right? As opposed to the new Bhakta serve Prasad, because no one else, everybody else is too busy to serve Prasad. We have too many important things to do for Krishna. Right? But then that means that serving Prasad is not actually a valued devotional activity. So that's why it gets lost. Right? It means, in other words, if we're taking that the devotional process of Vaishnava interaction is important, and that's based on prasad or on discussions or on gifts, then we would put more emphasis on those things. Right? Does that make sense? You know, rather than just, oh, that's just all sentiment or, you know, maya, but, you know, getting down to some practical service. But the point is that is service. You know, that would be the management of the prasad or organizing the service of the prasad is more important than actually serving it. You know what I'm saying? That's how we take it. That's the big thing. Then anybody can serve. That's the other way around. If something means you need qualified persons to do both, but the point is it's the serving the prasad that's the important element. And if that's there, then the element of rasa and everything increases. Otherwise, if that's not there, then, like you said, then movies are there, this is there, that's there. So many things are there, Facebook and so on. Because if you're not getting the taste from the actual natural devotional activities, interacting with devotees, then you have to find it by some other means. Okay. Let us stop today's conversation at this point. We shall continue tomorrow when I will explain Stai Baba. After offering their prostrate obeisances before Sri Gopal Guru Goswami, Vijaya Kumar and Vrajanath begged permission to leave. Okay, summary of chapter 28. Part 2, Mukhyarati, principal attachment. The next day, Vijaya Kumar and Vrajanath returned to Sri Gopal Guru Goswami and, after offering their prostrate obeisances, continued with their esoteric inquiries. In particular, they wished to clarify certain subjects of rasa tattva that had been discussed during their earlier visits. Vrajana started the inquiries. Right, so now we've gotten an overview of what is rasa. Right, so now we'll get into, now he'll get into detail. Okay. Okay. Vrajana started the inquiries. Gurudev, you have described the four bhavas, Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhachari Bhava, right? Because that was all the samagri. These are all the ingredients of rasa. Right? Amongst these four bhavas was there mention of Stai Bhava, permanent spiritual mellow. Right? Remember the first point he brought it up is that there's the rasa itself and then there's the ingredients of rasa. So he explained the ingredients. Goswami, all the categories you have mentioned are the different forms of bhava. From amongst them, the bhava that preeminently asserts itself like an emperor, embracing, controlling, and subjugating all other bhavas, whether congenially or conflicting, is the devotee Stai Bhava. Krishna Rati, transcendental love of Krishna, situated within the heart of the devotee, Ashraya, is known as Stai Bhava. Right? So, what we mentioned before is that in Vibhava, it's functioning because there's the devotee as the Ashraya of all those affection towards those qualities of Krishna. And Krishna, who is the enjoyer of that mood of affection towards him, right? So that particular mood, that's the Stai Bhava. So that's why it's the main element, right? But it being directed, that's the Vibhava, right? In other words, what's the element that awakens it? Okay. When we discussed Ashraya previously, under the topic of Samadri Bhava, we placed Ashraya in the category of Alambana, basic cause within the spectrum of Vibhava. In this way, we indirectly indicated the Stai Bhava within the heart of the devotee. Right? Because you have all those qualities. Krishna has unlimited qualities. But the point is which ones you're attracted to and how, what attraction that creates, that is the Stai Bhava. Right, because that's the way you'll always interpret. Right, it means when you have like in the philosophy, the hermeneutics, means how you interpret a verse. Right, that's your philosophy. So you know, it's like mimamsakas will always interpret that way. The nyayists in their way, Vedantists in their way. So you'll take the information that's there and interpret it according to the Stai Bhava. Does that make sense? Like that.
When. Two acharyas have two different commentaries, particularly on the pastime.
Right.
And they're in the same rasa. They're both, let's say, Madhurya rasa. So they're seeing it, but there is some contradiction. What is the cause of that contradiction?
It's better to not use the word contradiction, because Manu points out that there is never any contradiction. In Shabda, there's never contradiction. So, in other words, we call it contradiction because we don't understand it. So we'll say there's a contradiction, like that. Means you can use the term, but one should understand it's not. Like Arjuna, he just said it appears that he says it appears. So that's as close as you can get to using it. It's never good to use directly. There is a contradiction. Devotees love to do it because it's, you know, that's how you get copy, you know. Like that. In other words, what do you put on your Facebook and other things like that, you know? So the thing is that they're taking, because there's unlimited perspectives on things, and also you have to understand is depending upon who's the central feature, then you're getting different aspects. Right? So the point is if you're taking... You're taking hierarchy, that's one thing. You're taking the particular rasa, that's another thing. If you're taking what's your particular service at the time. You know, so there's going to be so many different things. Like, let's say, one is fanning, you know, there's the fan inside, the ceiling fan. So the ceiling fan, there's a rope connected to it that goes outside, and you pull on that. So you're already engaged in service. Right? But then Rupa comes along and says, leave the fan. Go pick flowers. Right? So one could say, no, but you know, he's already engaged in service, the ecstasy, he's enjoying that service. Why would that be there? Because the point is, it's not your own enjoyment of it. It's the enjoyment of the pastimes of the devotees. You could say, but the devotees are enjoying that pastime. But someone else can do the fan. But the point is you need flowers, because what's happening is after this, after a few moments, then Radha and Krishna will come out of that situation. Right? But Radharani will look like she was with Krishna. Right? And this is before the rasa dance. So Lalita Devi has gone to make the arrangements of the rasa dance. Right? Because there is management in the spiritual world. It takes management to organize, right? So you're trying to set up a dance. That means you have to have the place has to be swept, you have to get out the musical instruments, you already have to plan where, because there's a lot of beach there. So which area on the beach is where you're going to have the pastime. Right? So all that has to be organized, and you're talking about thousands of people involved. So then that means then she's going to come back and expect that Radharani has spent time with Krishna, right? And so as a junior to her, that's what she expects and wants, right? As her assistant. But at the same time, it's because she's in the position of girlfriend of Radharani, that makes them equals, right? And amongst equals, there's always chivalry. So then that means then, naturally, she's going to harass, especially since she's the older one, or the senior. Right, so then she'll harass how Radharani was with Krishna. Right, so to avoid that, because Radharani wants to avoid that, because that's the fun, is avoiding that. That you've been with Krishna, but Lalita can't tell you've been with Krishna. So she can't harass you in that way. Therefore, then Rupa, who is Radharani's main maidservant, right, is going to arrange that flowers are picked so that Radharani come out, they'll redo her hair and everything like that, so that when she's sitting there with Krishna and Lalita comes, she's shocked. What? You know, what's going on here? And that's the fun. You understand? So it may appear contradictory, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's all part of the rasa, how to create, what are all the, as we mentioned here, all the vibhava aspects, like that. And so when they're doing, they're just bringing out different aspects. So if we can't put them together, know that they are part of the same thing.
Even when we're talking about tattva and it looks like this is definitely black and this is definitely white?
Yeah, because the point is everything is reconciled in Krishna. That's why it's chinta beta beta tattva. So there is no such thing as contradiction. So the Vedas are already saying that, so they're indicating that the actual philosophy of the Vedas are chitta veda vidya tattva. Because they say there is no contradiction. Because everything goes back to Krishna. If Krishna is the source of everything, he's the source of all contradictory qualities or situations. And so everything is reconciled in him. So there is no such thing. I mean, devotees love to sit around and talk about it, but it's basically a waste of time. You know, what's the difference? Means trying to figure out, okay, they're saying this and that. What's that common thread that they're both speaking about? In other words, one's speaking out one detail of the central principle, another's speaking about another detail of the central principle. But the problem is, if you understand the central principle, it's not a problem.
Sometimes one is not speaking the central principle, one is just bewildered, and they think they know what they're saying.
That's also there. That's also there. But the point is that there is no contradiction. Never is. Like as we were showing before. Means not in this class, in the next one. This is between Ramanuja and Madhva. The followers of Ramanuja and Madhva, they like to make it out that there's a difference. But there isn't any difference. They're just talking about two different aspects of the same thing. Right? Because there is all the elements of the oneness with Krishna, and there's all the elements of the difference from Krishna. But one's taking one line, one's taking the other line. They have their particular purpose. But they're both right. So to make it out that one is right and one is wrong, then that's, one never does that. One never takes sides like that. One doesn't do that. It's just not done. Like that. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have, like we was mentioning before, in politics, there's two kings. and they have a difference of opinion, right? Now, the point is now if you can excuse yourself to not be involved, great. But the problem is because the Kshatriyas are dependent upon the Brahmins. But the point is it's my Brahmin, so he's going to support me. So when they can't work it out themselves as Kshatriyas, then they're going to bring in the Brahmin. So even if you have excused yourself for some very important thing, they'll call you back. So now you can't take sides, because there is no such thing, because they're both speaking from the principles of Kshatriya Dharma. They're just taking two different aspects. Right? So just like you see, when Duryodhana wanted to use some political scam, and Karna wants to use some just direct. So then the point is that Shakuni works it out. But he doesn't say, well, you know, Duryodhana's right, you know, why are you being so, you know, bullheaded and always just, no, he doesn't do that. Or he wouldn't say, yeah, well, that's weak, Duryodhana, you know, he's got the, no, he would just point out, this is the strength of this, this is the strength of that, so they're both good. So how to use that in a combination and all that, because now, in the combination, we'll use that later, but this one has to be used now. So you're actually getting down to the principle of it and using it. So that's what it's showing. So we'll take it. It means don't get involved. It means if you can avoid it, great. But the point is if you have to get involved, you can't take sides. You have to get to the principle. So that means you have to be able to figure out what it is. So in other words, when you figure out that there's two different opinions, then you should be working on, well, what's the common ground? Because sooner or later, someone's going to ask you, right? So the point is if Vaishnavas have different opinions, then if they're not, neither of them are wrong, right? Neither of them are wrong, like that. So it's just like you have Hridaya Chaitanya, right? And then you have, you know, Jiva Goswami, and then you have, you know, Radharani herself. Now, problem comes up is because Hridaya Chaitanya is the Diksha Guru. Jiva Goswami is the Siksha Guru. And Radharani is the source. Diksha and Siksha are representing her. So now Hridaya Chaitanya comes, and he's not wrong in saying you can't go against the Diksha Guru. You know, why are you doing activities that are different from what the Diksha Guru has advised? He's not wrong. At the same time, Jiva Goswami is not wrong in giving the siksha on how to deal with that relationship in connection with Radharani. And Radharani is not wrong in giving her direct instruction. You know, so all three are correct. So now it's a matter of, though they seem conflicting, but you have to work it out. The point is the Diksha Guru is there too. Give siksha to connect to Radharani. So he's already got that connection to Radharani. So therefore, but she's only connecting because he is the disciple of someone. She's not going to interact with someone who's not. So she's interacting with him as the disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya and of Jiva Goswami. Right? Because that's his position in the hierarchy, in the tattva. But the rasa is she can deal directly with him. But the relationship's not direct. Right? So then when Hridaya Chaitanya figures out what's going on, that Radharani was directly interacting, then he can understand that Jiva Goswami's instructions on the matter wasn't wrong. So therefore, then everything is balanced. So that's the point, is that you're dealing with Krishna, so nothing's ever wrong. It's just a matter of what's appropriate for the particular situation. So therefore, what they're specifically talking about, they're both correct. But when you go to apply it, you have to see which one or what combination is applied in the specific situation. Okay. You know what I'm saying? If the person is just, you know, innocent, then you inspire. If they're proud, you have to, you know, bring them into line. Right? So therefore, on the same point, Vishwanath saying one thing, Baladev saying the other. Does that make sense? But you're using Baladev to inspire, but using Vishwanath to, you know, show them actually what's the position. So they're not contradictory. There is no contradiction. like that. But because words are different and we have our own, our interpretations of the words by our previous samskar, therefore that will happen. But if the samskar is that principle is what we're looking for, then as soon as that comes up and we see a difference, immediately we'll start to look for the principle, rather look for only for contradiction. Right, because that need for the contradiction may come up from one's own insecurity. So therefore, one's faith is, oh, they're saying different, so how can I have faith? You know? And so that, but why would that be there? It's because I want to be in the mode of ignorance, or I want to be independent. You know? Or fault-finding, oh, there's a difference here. You know, what's the negative quality that would bring that up? Right? Because the thing is I'm so intelligent, I should understand everything. If I don't, there's a contradiction. Right?
Sometimes there's perhaps a bewilderment that the instruction appears different than the instruction your guru gave you.
But the point is it's not different.
Because you can't see it.
You can't see it. It's never different. Because devotional service is one thing. It's never different. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.